Sicily, 1920. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is... Hello, and thank you for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. Before the podcast gets started, actually, I wanted to give you some information on this episode. It is a two-part episode squeezed into one, and we watched it and recorded at the same time, kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000, except it's a recap episode, a real recap episode. We'd had fake ones before. This is the first real recap episode. It was a two-parter, as I said, and so when the Golden Girls go into a flashback, we will also be going into a flashback of whichever episode that was, and you will be able to hear us in the past with our guest from that episode. So this is a very special episode, and I hope you enjoy it, and that's what's gonna happen. Enjoy. Bye-bye, and enjoy the podcast. thank you for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and well, we usually break it down scene by scene, but today we're gonna do a little something different. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have no guest.
Yay! Yeah. Oh, we only guest, we have Godiva the cat and Maude the cat. Occasionally
the cats are the guests. I'm gonna put Maude and Godiva as guests and just like put in meow sounds.
That's why this episode has the explicit rating.
The meows are cuss words. Oh. we have no guests because this episode that we are going to recap as we go, is it recording? Okay. Mm-hmm. This episode is a two-part episode, and it is the recap episode, the first real recap episode. There have been fake recap episodes. I guess they got a note from the studio. Stop making fake recap episodes.
Get real, Golden Girls.
We want to go back in time for reals. And so they did a two-part, like, 46-minute Golden Girls episode. It's season 3, episode 18 and 19 together, titled Golden Moments Part 1 and Part 2. And so there is kind of a story arc, if you want to call it that. But basically, we are going to sort of reminisce and recap the podcast in and of itself with the episode that recaps the show in and of itself. And so we thought this would be a fun little experiment.
Or a fun little failure, depending.
Yeah, or a little failure. I guess we're not gonna do
I'll do a synopsis.
A synopsis.
Yeah. I'll do a one line synopsis, really.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Sophia threatens to move out and live with her son Phil. And the ladies try to convince her to stay through stories.
Through stories that actually happened.
Yes. Memories.
About 20 flashbacks. 3 from the episode The Flu.
With Anne. I know, that was a really popular one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
That one had it all.
Intrigue. Murder,
fight, sex,
snot.
All right, so we can commence.
All right.
This episode.
And now we go back in time. just kidding. It's loading on Amazon Prime.
My internet is so slow.
Okay. Yay. So here's the Golden Girls theme song, which we love and sing sometimes on the show.
I love the part when they're all moving together. It's like symbolism.
It's so out of context weird. Like, yeah, they do move to, they shuffle.
Yeah. So when we're Betty White's mm-hmm. getting thrown in the closet.
And these are all from like the first three episodes or so.
Blanche pulls down her sleeve and then sashays down.
She's like, amputee. This is what he looks like.
Estelle Getty with the old wig.
Yeah, with the old wig.
They're out in the lanai being friends.
And Dorothy talking.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, so establishing shot.
But a rare one. It's very sunny.
Yeah, it's
nobody's
really
driving
nothing's
up.
Moving. Okay, so they're in the Blanche and Dorothy are in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And Blanche is fetching the mail. I mean, roses. Oh. This cat part just doesn't, they don't ever talk about it again.
No, well, what is there really to talk about? Like, she really does like a shitty job of hiding cat food from the rest of ladies.
You know, there's a garage in which she can hide it in instead of having, why are you taking it to your room? So Rose comes in with cat food and she's trying to hide that she's hiding cat, she's feeding the cats from the Golden Girls. And Sophia really likes the smell. She wants to eat it because that's what they served at the home.
Pretty much. I feel like that's probably what she's eaten before. Like I think if you ever buy cat food like from Trader Joe's, they'll tell you that it's not tuna.
Not tuna.
So yeah.
Just soy.
I feel like a lot of people, they have a lot of crossover market between people that are just buying this because it's cheaper than canned tuna. Okay. So Sophia just unceremoniously announced that she's going to be moving out.
Moving out.
Yeah, moving out. Helping out her son, Phil.
Because his wife left him and took all the kids but two.
So it was like a very the Torkelsons move where they just like lost
the Torkelsons. Oh my god.
Actually what I'm referencing is Torkelsons and then it was, I think it was called Home Again? Maybe, or Home Away.
I watched Torkelsons when it was on syndication on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
When I was like an early teen.
Well, you might remember there's the Torkelsons and there was another reboot of it where they moved to Seattle and she like the Torkelsons' mom basically lives in Seattle with this doctor and they lose like two or three of their kids on the way.
What?
Yeah.
Wasn't Brittany Murphy on?
Yeah, Brittany Murphy was like the doctor's spoiled daughter. And then, she was supposed to be like the foil for like whatever the Oklahoma daughter's name was, like Raylene or something.
Raylene.
The one who talked to the man on the moon.
Oh, that's right. That was the main Torkelson, right?
It's an Oklahoma sitcom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like...
it's so you felt connected to it growing up.
Yep. They mentioned real Oklahoma towns like Vinita.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Okay.
We're off track already.
Wow, I did not know you were a Torkelson's nerd at all. So right now, they've gone into a flashback, the first episode. It's the one where Estelle Getty comes in because her retirement home burned down.
Yeah, she comes in very, I mean, just like she's going to announce she left. Just like, yeah, guys, it burned down. It's not great.
It's almost like she can't handle transition, so she blocks it out and just says, like, she's just like an emotionless robot. And like, I'm leaving now. I'm here now. I'm just gonna...
I mean, she's either like a sociopath or she's just like old where like nothing really is... Like, everything has happened to her in her life, so like nothing's really good or bad anymore.
Yeah.
Like...
Things just sort of happen for her now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And Blanche is... bringing home a guy. She brought home a date.
It was Harry Glick, the guy that was dating a bunch of women at the same time as Blanche.
No, I think he was married.
He was married?
He was
married to a bunch of women.
Yeah, because he got arrested for bigamy.
So Harry comes in.
And Harry comes in and he's like this wonderful looking silver fox.
He looks like an elderly Ken doll. he's got this like gray blue blazer, like one of those like blue blazers on with like gold buttons. Like he looks like he has like a selection of boat shoes. Like he has like, he looks great.
He looks amazing. He's dapper. He's charming, just like they said. And then
he, I get it, Blanche.
Creepy, but it was creepy how he walked in. He's like, "There you are, my pretty," and I'm just like, "Oh, like, what are you, the Wicked Witch of the East?" Like I don't.
No, he's got a weird. Yeah, he's a little slimy. So he says hi to
everybody.
He meets Rose, he meets Dorothy, and then when he gets to Sophia, he makes that.
You must be Dorothy's sister.
Yeah, and she's like, "What? Are you fucking blind?
Are you fucking blind?" while eating a cracker fucking. That a gay dude gave her, like. Or a pop? Was it a Pop Tart? I don't know.
We don't.
Were Pop Tarts around back then?
Man, I think it was the very beginning of Pop Tarts. It may have been a Pop Tart.
It may have been a Pop Tart.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
The gay man gave her a Pop Tart. Okay, so now they're back at the kitchen and they're basically going over. Telling her that she can't leave. Telling Sophia.
They're trying to give her reasons to not leave. Like, you won't have any privacy because he lives in a trailer. Yeah.
So right now they're talking about how there's not enough space in that house, even though they all have individual rooms. And so, which leads into a series of clips that involve room... And sleeping with each other.
Yeah, Sophia makes a glorious point. Like, for them, like, they all have their own bedrooms, but they all end up sleeping in each other's beds, like, all the time. Like, she's like, people are always up on my business here.
They do.
Yeah.
They just crawl into each other's beds like weirdos.
Yeah.
Okay, so this episode... Okay, so they got into a flashback. Dorothy and Sophia are sleeping together. And this is the episode with... it's called Isn't It Romantic? And it was with our guests, Jody and Holly, Jody Scaris and Holly McKee Clark. This was, they're from LA. They're improvisers and actresses, and they're very lovely, and we loved having them.
Very sweet.
Very, very sweet. So glad they were here for the Phoenix Improv Festival, and they got the lesbian episode. This is the episode where Dorothy asks. Be Arthur, Sophia. Sorry, I'm saying the names wrong because I'm kind of watching it. Dorothy asked Sophia if she was a lesbian, how would you react? Then Dorothy tells Sophia that Jean is in love with Rose, and that's why she starts laughing like a robot. And then Blanche just walks in.
Oh, there's laughter? Can I laughter? La la
la la la. Do I come in? No, I'll come in anyway.
They tell Blanche the truth about Jean. That scene. So Blanche cannot handle... Well, first they tell her she's lesbian, and she thought they said Lebanese. And so they reference Danny Thomas.
They make a terrible joke.
A terrible joke about... Yeah. There was a lot of lazy writing in this episode.
I'm just like, what?
You're just talking about the Lebanese lesbian.
Yeah. So she's like, She's like, I'm okay with that. Danny Thomas, the actress, is that. And she's like, and then Dorothy's like, lesbian, Blanche, not Lebanese.
And then she doesn't know what lesbian is. It takes her, like, she says it, like, 5 times.
She's like, lesbian? Lesbian? Isn't that when two women? Lesbian. Yeah. Like, she just bewildered.
I know, like, how, I mean, she's a very sex-positive person. I would be very surprised that, like, she hadn't
done it.
Or at least, like, like met people.
Right.
Exactly.
Or been in, like, a three-way.
I mean, she's definitely been in orgies. And definitely. Orgies involve multiple crazinesses happening.
She's she's confirmed been in orgies? Is that mentioned in other things?
I'm pretty sure she's mentioned it, right?
Has she? She's mentioned...
Well, we remember that episode in the first season where they had the big orgy.
What? Which one? The orgy? Oh, yeah, the orgy stone. The orgy stone. She's had various sexual things. Okay, so now it cuts to this flash,
bedroom scene.
Another bedroom scene. And so this is Maria Konopkin's episode. Wonderful. Hi. Maria Konopkin.
Now in Chicago.
She was visiting like a year ago. Almost a year ago. And this is called Bedtime Story, this episode. And this is a fake recap episode. That means that we are in a real recap episode, recapping a scene from a fake recap episode, makes any sense.
This is the Golden Girls version of Inception.
We're trapped, guys. And it has to do with sleeping. We're going to wake up next to each other. We're still going to be in Tennessee. This was what I'm doing the whole time. Tennessee was our Golden Girls sleeping.
We got a hotel room, and it was a king size bed instead of two double beds as we requested, and we just dealt with it because it was the weekend. It was also some kind of football game, so like there would have been no way we would have gotten a hotel room.
Totally.
So we're just like, all right.
But it was great. I feel like I was in junior high or elementary school, just sleeping with my friend. And okay, so in this scene, they are, it's really cold, and so they need to huddle together.
It's cold in Miami.
It's cold in Miami. That's what she sleeps.
Yeah.
And Dorothy snuggles up next to her because the heat is out, like we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
And so Sophia's kind of turned on by the presence of
someone
her
touching her.
Yeah. I read it differently. Because she started talking about her. She was like, Salvatore.
Right.
Yeah. Her dead husband. Take off your shirt if you want to fool around. You'll get linguine all over me.
Linguine all over me. I saw it as like Dorothy's like manliness. Like she sensed it. And so that's why she thought.
I saw it as Sophia saying, oh no, this is Dorothy crawling into bed with me. I'll start talking about having sex with her dead dad.
Oh, so she was awake. And so she's like, oh fuck. Like she could tell that the heat was not working and she's going to fuck with her until she gets out.
Oh, I thought she was just oh, I thought it was her dead husband. Like that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. It was her dead husband, Salvador? I don't remember. Maybe she's thinking of like a cabana boy named Salvador. Or Salvador is an Italian name.
Salvatore.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. It's conceivable. Salvador, I think that's her husband's name. I'm pretty sure that's
because I think of El Salvador and I think of like.
Well, this is Salvatore.
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 Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought it was Salvador. So I thought of an ethnic person.
She could have slept with either a Salvatore or a Salvador. She probably slept with both.
Like they did three takes, and that was the one that took.
That's the one that took Salvatore.
Salvatore.
I mean, I think Salvatores and Salvadors like linguine. I think most people like linguine. So.
Yeah, you're right. A Salvador would not eat linguine.
All right.
He might. He's hungry. He's like a Cabana boy. They don't make that much money. She's like, look, this lady who can cook. I'm going to eat me some.
She lured him in with linguine.
By shaking like a snake. She's like, come eat my linguine, baby.
Come in my linguine. Come in my linguine.
So then, don't get any clam sauce on me.
I got 10 pounds of clams in my refrigerator.
As we gestured to
We're pointing at her crotches, listeners. So Dorothy, she talks about...
No, this is not very flattering.
Okay, it's the next day. We've gone through
flashbacks. It's still the same day.
Oh, it's the same day.
They still got the same cardigan on.
They're back in the kitchen, and they're talking about how Phil's wife never appreciated him. With a real woman, he would have had a real diamond in his front tooth.
What does he have instead? Like a crack rock?
He had like a
glass.
Like a Lisa Frank, like little gem that they put into the front of his teeth.
You're pretty baller.
So Sophia's basically like, everyone's like, oh, Phil picked the wrong woman, which has been an issue before. And then Sophia's like, well, look at you, Dorothy. You date all these fucking scuzzballs. And there's all these guys that come in through the house that are fucking dumb fucks. Even though Sophia has had her share of dumb fucks, which leads into the series of clips that involve dating. And so this is the first clip, and it is the Blanche and the younger man.
And it's the scene where this guy, exercise instructor, Dirk.
Mm-hmm. Dirk.
They're at the door. He's just dropped off Blanche, and Blanche is standing in the most unnatural pose.
Yeah.
We mentioned this before.
Yeah, she does that pose sometimes when she's trying to get.
She's got her arm way up in the air the entire time, like she's holding on to like the door jamb at the top.
When she lifts her right arm, that means she needs to get boned. So this is the Michael Turner episode. This is a fun one.
Phoenix,
this is an early one.
Phoenix Michael Turner.
Phoenix's own Michael Turner.
Well, first Cincinnati had him, and now.
Cincinnati had him. Yeah. He like drove in from Vegas.
That's right. Yeah. He drove it directly from Vegas.
He's like, I'm here, guys. Gonna do the podcast. Yeah. Okay. It cuts to the next flashback, and this is Forgive Me, Father. This was with April Macy and Shane Moss. Yay. That was super fun. Oh, look at her outfit. It is so...
Oh, my God.
It's like aluminum foil on her.
It is silver to the max. It's nonstick.
So Blanche is wearing, like, the craziest, like, silver... Like a pastel silver, almost.
Yeah.
Suit.
Oh, she's...
Suit jacket.
Dorothy had invited over this teacher that she worked with that she had the hots for.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he's a priest.
Yeah.
And she didn't know because he always wore street clothes. He didn't wear...
knocks on the door, and Blanche answers it, and that is when all hell breaks loose.
Because he's wearing his priest outfit.
John, John, John. Which, white by collars. The way, do priests go to dinners like still wearing that?
Yeah.
Like I like that he doesn't wear it around the school.
What's he gonna wear? A FUBU jumpsuit? Like, what do you mean? He's gonna wear his priest outfit.
He's wearing the shit at the, you know, at the school.
Why wouldn't?
Yeah, but he's coming over for like a fatherly visit.
And if that's a Catholic school, like, wouldn't he be wearing that at school?
Something doesn't add up to me.
It's not adding up, right? It just doesn't make sense.
You have to allow this to happen, otherwise the episode wouldn't have been possible. You're right. So let's move.
There's a level of suspending disbelief, and then there's...
the priest?
But then there's a level of like, would this happen like in real? Like, we have to think about the writers. It could.
It's not outside of the world of possibilities.
Right. Okay. And also, Dorothy is a substitute teacher. Like, she subs at all the schools. And
so she has her pick of the dick.
So maybe
pick of science teacher dick.
Right, she does.
Dorothy seems like someone who usually gives like the meaningful message at the end of the program. Is that her role?
Like,
because we didn't get that. Yeah, I feel like a real heartfelt moments. No, or
they
no.
always have them together.
Together at the end. And
yeah, there's a lot of cheesecake in the kitchen. If you've never seen a lot of episodes, the cheesecake is... table time is a running thing. It's the diner scenes from Sex and the City. It's the same thing.
What I don't get is, like, if she knows she's subbing at a Catholic school, wouldn't she assume that all the teachers are, like, involved with the church or priests or nuns?
You know, I didn't want to say it, but there were a few holes in this story. In this episode. Golden Girls storyline is not locked, sealed,
the most fluid, well thought out.
Just an airtight story.
Okay. So, look, it's the same outfit.
Oh my God! We're in a new scene. It's the same super shiny, super metallic outfit.
That's crazy.
and Blanche gives everyone a present. It's Christmas, and she gives them it's
the man of Blanche's boudoir, and it's the calendar of all the men she's fucked that year, which is probably a small percentage.
I know, that was a very curated collection.
It's a 3-year calendar.
Yeah, that's like no small feat that she did this. Like now you can just go to like keep...
Oh man. Okay, and so Blanche's present tops everyone off. She gives everybody the man of Blanche's boudoir. And it is a calendar of the men she's fucked this year that have pleasured her very well, which I imagine 12 men is probably like a week for her.
It's the best one of the month.
Best one in that month?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. All right.
So she probably takes pictures, though, of everybody, right? And then just selects the top 12. Yeah.
It's like revenge porn presents. I need to take your picture. I need to give presents to... She had these on hand.
Yeah.
And how could she have gotten those developed?
Wait, Kinko's existed, maybe. Yeah,
I think
right?
so. I mean...
Maybe she had, but like, it would have been film.
Yeah.
So you have to get caught three because copies
if you
of each.
Because they won't develop back then. If you had nude pictures, they wouldn't develop them.
She has a Polaroid. Well,
it must have been Polaroids.
Maybe
yeah.
Polaroid, or she had her own black room.
So
somebody... dark room.
All I'm trying to say is this is a graphic designer. Like a great gift.
That was the Cheryl Anderson and Jose Gonzalez episode, by the way,
very
listeners.
Fun.
And then this episode is a little romance.
Oh.
This is the little person episode. Our guest was Michelle Balloon, co-host Leslie Barton. You unfortunately weren't there for this one.
No, but I did see this one, and it's basically the episode where they cannot handle the fact that this is a little person.
No.
Yeah. Can't handle that she's dating him. Like, can't handle that he
this
exists.
Is too much for them.
Yeah. They do not handle it well.
Nothing.
And
they make every possible midget joke that they can.
Yeah. I mean, at one point, like, Blanche even thinks it's like a joke, like a prank.
Yeah.
Like, she even says in front of this poor little man, like, she basically just like... Like, Rose says that she's dating him, and Blanche is like, oh, this is to get back at me.
this She opens the door, mm-hmm. and then she sees Dr. Newman, mm-hmm. and he's just
all
like
3 foot five of him.
All 3 foot five of him, and he's just like look. He's just looking up at her, and then she just slams the door in his face and says, "We're already subscribed to the Miami Herald. Sorry,
little boy.
Little boy.
Now what plan? I mean, like that is so
no." I don't believe it because I think Blanche can recognize a man when she sees him.
But and also
I'm with you, Leslie. Also, I think that she can recognize a man.
Yeah.
And also like she also his voice, she didn't question his voice over the phone because it's very like it sounds like a munchkin from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, he doesn't not have a sort of like, yeah. you know,
there's no way she didn't blurt it out on the phone.
It's not right. like he's James Brolin or something. It's Sam Elliott.
Oh, God, like, if only that could have gotten. Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is that Blanche knew something was wrong with him because Rose isn't bringing
See,
him
there
around.
There you go again. Wrong with him. Huh? Wrong
no,
with little people.
He's not. It's okay. You're right.
I'm just kidding.
We're being as politically incorrect as the episode.
No, we are not. But
no, maybe not way. In our own way. But Rose, but Blanche should have known that there's something that is different about him. And so she wants to tease him and that's tease her about it, okay. you know, and okay. that's why she invited him.
That's
and
right.
so
that's what you
she
think.
Did successfully tease him and her about it, you know, so, but she did it in such a reactive way. Like it wasn't intentional. Like she acted like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's like, it was weird. Like that whole part where it was just like all of them though, like Dorothy and Blanche, like,
yes.
they're sort of like, I mean, Sophia was the complete least of it. And that was the joke too. They thought she was going to say
right.
something so bad, but it's like, they really did act like he was a Martian and how are we going to be around this person? I mean, like,
yeah.
I can't believe I'm just, you know, we can't imagine what it was like at that exact time in the, like, were you thinking about little people in the 80s? Like I wasn't. I know they were, you know, like around.
Right. Let me think. Well, and the thing, I was in the lesbian bars.
Yeah,
I may have been.
Okay.
We did it, Leslie. You yes. were in the lesbian in the bars.
Well, there were lesbian midgets.
Yeah. I'll mention it again before the podcast
God.
Is over.
Can you stop touching Michelle's boobs?
Is this like some sort of like the sort of magic word or something? Like, okay, we ask a quiz at the end, okay?
What
Make sure
word?
You repeat you were at the lesbian bars a million times so people can win the
Make
prize.
Make sure you mention it later in the episode. So this part, Sophia decided, like, I'm moving out and that's it. And I'm leaving tomorrow. Like, I'm packing it up. I'm leaving tomorrow. And the show fades out. And then it's going to go into the second episode. The second part of the Golden Moments part two. So I guess are we going to stop it? We can just play the next one.
Yeah, we'll just play the next one.
Okay. Right. I'll cut this stuff out.
Okay.
Or not.
All right. Yeah, so they did a terrible job of convincing her.
To stay. By bringing up horrible examples. Yeah. We all know she doesn't leave because there's 7 seasons and we're barely on the 3rd one.
Yeah, I mean, basically like... Well, this is a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a cliffhanger because, like, yeah. if we're thinking about this in terms of when it originally aired in 1988, like, people had to wait a whole week.
Yeah.
Yeah, had a whole week to be like, did she leave?
Oh, no, wait. No. This actually aired the same day. Yeah.
Oh, it aired the same
day.
They waited, like, the next
February 13th, 1988. It aired back to back.
So they waited a commercial break, and they were like, oh.
I mean, they might have had, like, Matlock in between. Who knows? Like, but.
An episode of Nurses.
They show each episode of that they showed, but full. It was, like, an 8-episode marathon. Okay, so this is...
Let's see, where am I?
All right. Golden Moments, part two.
Okay.
All right. This is them beautiful in some awards show. They all look really good with Dorothy. Like, in that little thumbnail.
Yeah, I know.
Like, everyone's shiny, and Dorothy's just wearing, like, some matted dress.
Dorothy looks like a Dementor.
All right. Yay. All right. Second one.
Yeah.
The more clips that will convince There's Sophia to leave.
There's a lot of hand stuff. Yeah.
The beat of the song goes with the hands. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, I know.
Like, they really thought about it. Like, they spent a lot of time. You will see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
You're welcome for that.
You're welcome, guys. All right. So fade into it's nighttime. I believe it's the same day.
Yeah, it's this. It's later that night. Later they that can't night. Sleep.
Yeah.
By the way,
because of the
they
Dementors,
both, Dorothy and Dorothy and Blanche are in fabulous bedclothes. Both.
Yeah. Blanche a little bit more fabulous. Oh. Her jacket is amazing.
Yes.
It reminds me of a jacket you have.
Oh my god.
That you just got.
Yes.
There's no cheesecake. Okay, so there's a crisis. No cheesecake.
They're all upset because Sophia is leaving and they have no cheesecake to help them sort it out.
So this is basically the where they start talking about how food helped them out.
Shame eating.
Yeah.
they all eat together in the kitchen all the times.
Yeah. And so
Rose saves the day. Rose has been out at a late night bakery.
Full clothes.
Yeah.
The cheesecake is not like, it's like already on a platter. Straight out of the box.
Yeah, this bakery like hooked them up.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, they know what's up. They're like, oh, you can't sleep because your mom's moving out to live with her weird son.
What if that cheesecake was made by the cats outside? They gave her a present. I feed them.
This is made out of seafood medley.
She just made it out of the cat food that was left over. The cats didn't want to eat.
Yeah, the bottom is a graham cracker crust.
There's all these like lids inside of the cheesecake that are going to cut your mouth when you bite into them.
So we see, is this from the very first start?
Okay, so this is Job Hunting, the episode with Aisha Alpha and Sean Halpin.
Oh, yeah,
Halpin.
That's right. Yeah.
And so this is the one where Sophia loses her job, or I believe, and she's trying to find a job.
Oh,
but
Rose loses her job.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah, Rose.
At the grief center.
What is wrong with me? I can't say the correct name of any character tonight. Okay. So Rose lost her job, but Dorothy is the B plot is she's going to go on a date with her high school sweetheart who ends up being gay, right?
Yeah. So,
probably because she fucked him. I don't think she ever did.
Okay, something I should mention on the episode. I am fiercely protective of Arthur's sexuality. Like, I get so mad. People are mean to her on the podcast.
I know, and I'm mean to her all the time. And then other guests are mean to her too. Yeah. But
she's a handsome woman.
She's a handsome woman, guys. Okay, so this episode is funny because it was filmed in the first season.
Yeah, it was filmed in the first season and one of the first episodes filmed too, because
it was like the third episode.
Everyone looks really different. Like Blanche has noticeably less makeup than she ever has.
Yeah.
Everyone looks about 2 or 3 years younger than they, like, somehow.
Everyone is full of life. Her eyes are really blue.
Yeah, her eyes are super blue.
Whoa, that's weird. Yeah. Is that, they're usually brown, aren't they?
You know what?
We'll look at the next scene. But that's,
she doesn't have any lipstick on, and she doesn't have very much blush on. Yeah. So it's like.
Or something. The way she was. Like, I didn't know they were...
Italians.
I thought they were talking about something else other than orgasm or whatever.
Oh, really?
Because she was like, you know, a man... So she said man's dick, and then...
But I like that her takeaway from, like, she was grossed out about her dad's dick, but then, like, she just starts talking about orgasms right afterwards.
It turned her on so much. She wanted to talk about
it. It didn't faze her. Yeah, like.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No,
now I'm like, that I'm wet, let's talk about orgasms, you know?
And then she's like, all I saw was the bulls and the horses in the farm, and then Blanche says, "To fact to follow."
Dun, dun.
Dun. Great, good I line. Love great line. Yeah,
and she's right.
Yeah, and then she says, she asked Blanche, "Did you have an orgasm your first time?" And then Blanche is like, "Yeah, of course, many times, many, many, many times." I'm like, "How much did you come with Billy Bond Von Rebell?"
With this, okay. I think it's clear that her first time was a gangbang.
That's why she came. So
yeah. That's why she was like, was it Billy or was it Bob or was
it
Ben? She's
like, it started with a B, and the B was bang. Yeah.
Sorry. The bang?
Bang.
The B was bang. she was wasted. And
under a tree.
She just remembers.
I mean, it sounded romantic. It was under dogwood trees. The
smell of perfume, though. I was like,
yeah. Okay. And so then they just keep eating more because she doesn't have a job interview early in the morning the next day or anything. So cut to the next scene. And this one is End of the Curse with Tom. We did this one with Tom Sims, very funny comedian here in Phoenix, who is putting on shows at his racket club, which is very Golden Girls. This is the one where Blanche stops getting her period, and she thinks she's pregnant, but then it turns out she's going through the change.
Yeah, this is also an episode, I think, don't they raise chickens in this episode, too? They raise ferrets? It's like, they raise ferrets. They raise ferrets. They buy ferrets. And it turns out that they can't mate because they also are too old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Blanche doesn't want to give them away because, like, why discard a thing because it can't fuck, I guess. But then they start fucking.
Yeah.
But it was the two gay ones. Okay, so this one was...
We have the next scene they're in.
It's The Way We Were with Bill Binder. And so this is where they, we did this on Bill, who's a great, great, great person. I keep wanting to say friend of the show, but all these people are friends of the show because they've been on the podcast. But he's a Torch Theater founder, super funny guy. There's a jar of mayonnaise behind Rose right now. They went shopping and they've been getting into fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure we did this?
So basically, like, Rose's stupidity is the reason that they're still friends and roommates. Like, after any fight, they can just laugh at Rose, laugh at how stupid her stories are.
It's kind of sad.
She's the cream of the Oreo cookie, guys. Like, it was very sad. Very, I agree with you.
Yeah. Dance Monkey Dance.
I was watching the episode. It's like, well, we have one common. We can make fun of how stupid you are. And you brought cheesecake.
Yes, you're fine.
For sure. Okay, so this is when... So Rose actually got cheesecake, and it's the same... Probably... the same box from the props. It is pink as well. And so that, and it's from, look, it's still there. Okay, so they're back to the present and they're eating cheesecake and they can't figure out what to do. Okay.
Yep. And
Sophia comes in and she's already fighting with Phil.
Yeah.
They're fighting over what they're going to eat tomorrow night. She's flying out tomorrow night.
And like,
that's crazy.
I feel like basically he convinced her to live with her just so like she can pay for all of his food. Like he probably hasn't eaten in like several days. Yeah. He and his kids. Like,
what a loser.
Yeah. Phil's the worst.
He is the worst.
Yeah.
So now she's getting into fighting.
Yeah.
So this is a series of scenes where everybody fights.
Everyone is just a total dick to each other. And
yeah. Like... It started with the flu. They go by really fast. Our guest was Anwar Newton. Now this is Adult Education with Jen Kober and Michael Palladino that we did. And this is like just a random scene from that episode.
Yeah, where Sophia is cleaning out her purse.
Yeah.
And then Rose brings her Jell-O, and basically Sophia is like, fuck Jell-O. I hate fucking hate.
Yeah, Rose is making her Jell-O. She made her this beautiful Jell-O.
In a goblet.
Yeah. And Sophia's just like, what the fuck did you do this for? Like, so rude.
I think it was that she didn't like that there was fruit suspended in it.
Yeah.
Because she said, if I wanted my peaches to float, he'd have put air in them. I think it's like... It's a funny bit, you know,
it's weird.
Because that was a thing. First of all, I think that's a thing old ladies do. My grandma never made Jell-O without fruit cocktail inside.
Yeah, that is so true.
So I think it's a funny little detail to put in since it's old people. And I think at the time, Jell-O was probably fucking huge.
My grandmother was blowing up.
Like,
yeah.
One box is like less than a fucking dollar. And old women just treat it like it's like, oh, it's the centerpiece of American
cuisine.
Yes,
yeah.
You have to have Jell-O. It's right. Like, this is just...
Okay, so this scene is Big Daddy with Amy Carpenter. This was the B-plot to that episode, and Dorothy and Rose are trying to win money by making a jingle for the town of Miami.
Yeah.
And Dorothy's outfit is out of control as well. It's like this leopard safari kind of print.
Yeah.
Cutout over this, not even like
it's an asymmetrical collar.
Yeah, asymmetrical collar. Very brown.
Miami is nice. Miami is nice.
Wait a minute. You put in an extra Miami is nice.
I had to. It hurts the music.
We're just listening.
Yeah, but the lyrics don't make any sense. I mean, it goes, Miami is nice, so I'll say it twice.
Oh, I see your point. Well, what about this? Miami is nice, so I'll say it thrice.
Right, who the hell says thrice?
It's a word.
So is interuterine.
Miami is nice, so I'll say it thrice. God, this is a good moment.
It does not belong in a song.
Miami. You're cuter than an interuterine.
Miami, you're cuter.
I would love if Miami had interuterine in its town song.
I feel like interuterine sort of is an adjective, so you can't, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, so you need another word after that. Miami, you're cuter than an inner uterine or orangutan. Like, okay, so now they're back in the present and they're done talking about fighting. And now they're going to talk about sex. No, they're going to talk about how it's never boring here.
No.
Yeah, it's never boring here.
Okay, but one thing you have to admit, Sophia, it's certainly not a dull around here.
Right. I know, like, though I have to argue that Phil's house would probably never be dull either. Oh, that's right. Okay, we're in the new episode. This is the gun and robbery episode where Betty White just... Rose just...
It was like episode 8.
Freaks out and gets a gun.
Freaks out because someone broke in. And she... shoots the gun, mm-hmm. and they turn on the lights, mm-hmm. and they shoot the vase, mm-hmm. Chinese vase,
right.
their urn, mm-hmm. their family urn,
the laundry hamper, whatever you want to call it,
where Sophia hides,
right. hides her clothes,
yeah,
whatever clothes scam. Inside. That's it. That would be great.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Girdle pops out.
The dog is in there. The dog's the dead body in a mink stole in flower.
In flower.
In the garner. It's crazy. Okay, so this is the episode where it cuts to In a Bed of Roses. This was with Ron Vi. The previous one was with Bob Kubota. I forgot to mention that. But this is Ron Vi's episode, who is a Supergirl, Super Golden Girls fan.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is the one where Rose's, she fucks this guy, and then he dies in her on her bed.
And it turns out he's married.
Turns out he's married.
And she meets his wife.
Have nightmares. And so they're like, freaking out about a dead guy being in her bed.
Yeah, because she's like, oh, Rose, you got lucky.
Rose got lucky. Sophia's like, you didn't, not so lucky. That man is dead.
Yeah, yeah, she's great very line. Casual.
Yeah. Great line.
Very casual very... about a dead dude. Mm-hmm. Or,
right.
But of course, she's probably seen a lot of dead dudes.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And Rose is not used to seeing dead dudes, which is
kind of. She's kind of used to it. Her.
Yeah, her ex-husband mm-hmm. saw him dead. Well,
she saw him.
I'm saying it backwards. She saw her husband dead, but I don't understand how she didn't know he was dead. Like she got full dressed. You know, when someone's right. on your bed, you like poke them. You say, "Hey,
give
you
him
gotta
morning
get up.
Kiss." Or it's like, "Come yeah, on, this is the plan." Because she's trying to get them out the door.
Morning kiss. That is it. That is right. it. Yeah. That you cuddle. You say, "Hey, I had fun last night. You're fucking me."
Yeah.
You know, like. That yeah, did not happen.
Maybe she's like, good, he's being quiet.
Yeah, maybe she's like kissing him when he's dead.
Well, that's like what she tells Sophia. Oh.
Okay, so it cuts to this scene, and this is the Jonathan Gregory episode, and this is the actor.
Shout out to Jonathan Gregory.
Shout
Phoenix
out to
comedian.
Jonathan. Look at that lady right there in the middle.
Oh,
she
my
always
God.
Gets. She always gets. Did we talk about her? I forget. But she's like, what the fuck? Look at the lady over there. That's a total tweaker. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, so they're auditioning.
Is this they it was a it was a
Blanche auditions and she has fake boobs on. It's a shock to everybody. She has balloons.
Huge.
Huge balloons in her bra. Like
over double D.
Yeah, they were unrealistic. They were like jokes.
They were like water balloons. Like this is like the days. This is what happens when you don't have a Wonder Bra.
They look like dinosaur eggs. Like
they're way too perky too for that age. They were like, yeah.
Yeah, she just wants to show up Phyllis Hamero, who got the role and wasn't even in that room. He fucked her already. She was like in the dressing room, you know.
She was the youngest too.
Cleaning herself out. Mm-hmm.
She was by far the youngest.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like in her 40s or something. A picnic.
Oh. Yeah, and her boobs pop.
Her boobs just exploded. Okay, so now they're back and they're like, this is like, it won't be the same without you. We need you to give us advice, basically. But she has to get going. She has to go be a mom to Phil the loser. Okay. So she's going to go pack. because it's super late.
Yeah, she's probably just going to put everything in her purse, honestly.
She's going to show up with Phil's with like a paper bag. Like
yeah, exactly. Just as she came episode. In the house.
She burned down Blanche's house. Sorry.
I just leave a trail of destruction.
Okay. So this episode, this series of clips is basically clips that Sophia gives advice to the Golden Girls. And this is the triangle with Michael Malone. Mm-hmm. In
an early episode.
Very early episode, like episode 5. And Rose... Okay. and so she goes... Sophia goes into this whole thing about Mama Celeste and how she, listen up, kiddo, let me tell you a story. Don't get involved, let me tell you the story. And she goes into like, imagine this, 1912, two girls living in Sicily. All they share is a dream, a pizza dough, and something else, I forget. But
a recipe.
And then in comes in a fast talking pepperoni salesman.
Which that is my favorite euphemism.
Yeah. Right. He's like, hey pepperoni, come down to me. You want pepperoni? I can get pepperoni. Like it just so there
and you did the math. She was 7 years old
when this fast talking. 1985, she's 80. She would have been 7 years old working with another woman to start a business.
Another seven-year-old.
Right.
Yeah. And named Mama Celeste. Little Mama Celeste. And so this guy was banging out seven-year-old, like, entrepreneur, pizza entrepreneurs.
Right.
And, like, with his pepperoni. And
he's either banging out seven-year-olds or he's listening to seven-year-olds and their dough recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
either way, he's on some hard drugs.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder who he's... This is the one, and then there was one when they left baby behind.
they were volunteering to babysit for this race.
Yeah.
And Sophia's the only one who actually participated in the race.
She has her number on her purse, which is amazing. But I love how weird this looks with just like Blanche holding a baby unexplained.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, they don't explain this in this clip at all. But she had this baby because someone left it behind.
Because they were babysitting for the marathon.
Yeah, for the marathon.
They got volunteered.
And then she just decides, this whole episode, she just decides that they're going to keep this baby and raise it.
Because no one's coming for it.
Yeah.
So that legally it becomes your baby.
Yeah.
In, I guess,
that's
Miami.
That's how TV worked in the 80s. It was a big time for orphans, so.
Okay, so this one is the Anwar Newton episode. The flu, which is the third time we see the flu episode, but the first time we get to talk about it because they're being so fast.
Being ill is so like, I mean, that's a big part of being elderly. So
it's a big part of the 80s too.
Being ill.
And then Sophia starts talking about how. Natural medicine is the best. Back in Sicily, there was we all went to like a witch doctor, and she gave everybody ear salve for their. She gave the village idiot ear salve, and he put it in his linguine, and then sold it to everybody when he changed the name from ear salve linguine to pesto. and then it was just like the most obscure story and obviously a lie. And then Dorothy calls her out, you're fucking lying, mom. And then she's like, well, I'm old, I'm supposed to be colorful.
I'm supposed to lie to people so they can work through those lies for the rest of their lives.
Sophia, that's the first time she actually admits to a story not being true, because she's always telling stories. And then really weird. Okay, so now they're back in the kitchen. This is the final scene.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Blanche is going to do a showdown. showdown with Sophia. She's not gonna let her leave.
She's like, you're fucking staying. And now Sophia comes in. She's like, I'm staying. Emotionless. What do you mean you're staying? Okay, so it turns out that Phil's wife is back. Oh no.
Oh boy.
Okay, so Phil's wife is back because he couldn't do any better than Phil. So she brought her back and her children, her four children.
Just, and now they're back up to six.
Yeah.
Now, oh, did they still lose the two? Yeah. They're just like,
the two are dead now. They're now four. He ate them because he didn't know what to eat.
Yeah, he didn't have any food.
Yeah. All right. So now they're happy and they hug.
Yay!
And that's it. We did it, guys. Our first Riff Traxy episode, Mystery Science Theater style.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Wow. We did it. Yay. Okay.
All right. Well,
so I hope you guys enjoyed this, listeners, because it was crazy.
It was a new thing for us. We'll see how this turns out.
It'll be us just trying to remember what we watched and really fast. Okay, so this episode comes out on January 27th. So do you have any shows after January 27th that we'd like to promote?
Yes. I've actually got two shows on the 31st in Tucson. I believe you're on both of those with me.
Yes, I am.
One of them I'm going to be opening for Kristen Levine of Portlandia fame.
Woo!
Ooh.
I love her.
I forget where that is.
It's at Borderlands Brewery.
Borderlands Brewery.
At 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock.
In Tucson.
And then we're also going down for the political show.
Which is at 7. Laughing Liberally.
Laughing Liberally. Yes.
And that is at Sky Bar.
7:30 at Sky Bar.
7 o'clock, right?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock at 7 Sky o'clock. Bar.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's okay.
So
if you're in Tucson, come see both of us.
Yeah, yay. It'll be fun. And then I've also got another show at the Scottsdale Museum of Contemporary Arts on February 12th. It's called Love Me Tender.
Yes.
Yep. Spelled like the app. And that's going to be cool. That's the first show that we've ever had at the museum.
Yeah, the first Smoke a Comedy show.
Yeah.
Officially. And I'm on that as well. Yay. I'm actually producing that show. And so it's going to be tons of fun.
Yeah. And I'm as always, I'm at Genevieve Rice on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. So give me a follow. Revamping my website. So don't go to my website because it's terrible.
I go to it because it's terrible. I'm going to be February 4th through 7th at Laugh Factory in Scottsdale. Opening for Bob Zaney. And so that should be super fun. And you have a show on February 4th. Are you going to, are you still doing that here?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I have a house show. I have a house show with, it's going to be with Heidi Geldish-Young, Ron Babcock, JT Haversat, and Mishka Shabali.
Yes.
Yes. It's going to be at my house.
Right.
It's donations accepted and BYOB and make a lot of food.
Yay.
Lots of good comedy.
And I'll be opening for the same guys at Lizard Lounge, February 10th.
Is that in Prescott?
Prescott, yeah. Which you should come with me, I think.
All right, I might be on that show too.
Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay, there's a lot going on, guys. Okay, so along with my, my Twitter is at Anthony DeSamito. Also is my Instagram. But along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. And it's at Thank You For Being a Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFBAP, also at TIFBAP on Instagram, facebook.com/ thank you for being a podcast. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, and now we're on TuneIn Radio. Yay.
And we're on Sad Men for Lonely Women.
Yes.
Yes.
Why have we never mentioned that? I don't know.
No, it's a wonderful, wonderful news site and comedy site.
By Jackson Curtin.
Very funny out of Oklahoma.
Very funny guy. Yeah, lovely, lovely, salt of the earth. And if you're following along, which I guess people are, like, I met a guy at a film bar that's following along.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, very, very cute little gay guy. He looked like 12-year-old Bruce Wayne from Gotham, but it was cool. He's nice. And so, it's season 3. If you're listening, you were cute. Don't worry.
He was so cute.
Yeah. Season 3, episode 20, and it's Anima Makes 3. That's it for us, guys. Have a beautiful day and or night. Yay!
Gonna stuff a chicken.
Gonna stuff a chicken.
Like my mama taught me.
Like my mama taught me.
Gonna take the chicken down to Mississippi.